Luke 22:14-20. When the time came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles joined him. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I tell you, I won't eat it until it is fulfilled in God's kingdom." After taking the cup and giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. I tell you that from now on, I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom has come." After taking the bread and thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the meal and said, "This cup is the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you." The word of the God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today is the last Sunday of a sermon series called Less Play, and we have been trying to discover together what children can teach us about life and about our faith, and we have learned there's quite a lot that we need to pay attention to with little children. So here is our final lesson this morning. What if there was one thing that you could do for your child or your grandchild or any child that you love and cherish that would make them be happier and healthier? Would you do that one thing? What if this one thing could help your child do better academically, learn critical and necessary social skills, develop better manners, increase the likelihood of receiving college scholarships, and decrease the possibility of your child being tempted to engage in tobacco, alcohol, or drugs? Would you do that one thing? But there's more. There's more. What if you, as a couple, could do one thing that would keep you happier, healthier, less stressed, and reduce the risk of alienation and even divorce? Would you do it? But we're still not through. As a single person who lives alone, what if there were one thing you could do that would increase your joy, that would help connect you better to life, increase your sense of well-being, and actually increase your lifespan as well? Would you do it? Now, we know all the answers to this question. I mean, we know it. The answer is yes. In fact, it's a yes in capital letters. So what is this amazing, miraculous, life-changing one thing that we can do? The answer is simple. Sit down and eat a meal with someone. Now, I know that sounds a little far-fetched, but I am backed up by scientific studies and statistics. All you have to do is get on the internet and Google benefits of eating dinner together, and you can read so much information on this topic. Sitting down at a table and eating a meal can literally change our lives. Yet, we are doing less and less and less of that these days. Statistics tell us that the average American eats one meal in every five inside his or her car. Also, one in every four Americans eat at least one fast food meal a day, and we wonder why we're struggling with our weight. The majority of American families report that eating a single meal together happens less than 3 to 5 times a week. Now, I am not telling you any of these things to make you feel guilty. Most of you have far too much guilt in your life already. Modern American life is a complicated business. It can be chaotic, it can be hectic, and for those with two income families and long commutes to work and making sure your kids get their homework done and you get them back and forth to band practice or softball practice or dance class, there is just so much going on. And all of you are doing the absolute best that you can. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I am trying to talk to you about something that really could increase the quality of your life and your family's life. You see, food does a lot more than feed our bellies. Food feeds our soul, and it actually tells the story of our lives. Recently, I missed an entire week of work due to illness, and I spent most of that time lying in bed, reading books, and binge-watching TV series on my iPad. I burned through two entire seasons of Top Chef Masters, and I couldn't even tell you who won at the end of either one of those seasons. But this is what I do remember. The chefs were told to create a dish that reminded them of the love they felt somewhere in their life. What a powerful idea. So one of the chefs, who happened to be a Southern boy, he recreated his grandmother's homemade biscuits. When he presented his dish to the critics, he told them the story of how she would prop him up on a stool in the kitchen and tie a dish towel around his waist, and he would watch her mix the dough up. She would roll it out with a very special rolling pin, and then she would let him cut the biscuits out. When he presented his dish to the critics at the table, he said with tears in his eyes, "When we share food, we are sharing love, and we are sharing our story. And that means we all become connected in a deeper and more powerful way." So I want you to think for a moment, and I won't ask you to say it out loud, but think about your food memory. Think about that one dish that allows you to time travel back to a time when you felt loved and warm and protected. Now, for me, my answer is very simple. I'm a Southern girl, and my memory is the smell of my mother's cornbread cooking in the oven. One of my earliest memories, maybe 4, maybe 5 years old, I remember watching my mom mix up the cornbread batter without a measuring cup, a measuring spoon, or a recipe in sight. I can still hear the sizzle as she poured it in that hot cast iron pan, and I will never forget the taste of hot buttered cornbread in my mouth. But here's the thing, that story continues because now I have that same cast iron pan that belonged to my mother and her mother, and God willing, someday I will teach my grandgirl Lily how to make cornbread in it as well. Do you see how food tells our story, but it also connects our story together? And maybe, just maybe, that's why Jesus spent so much time around the table, sitting with people, sharing food with people. I mean, think about it. He turned water into wine at a wedding reception. He told a dirty, rotten scoundrel of a tax collector that he was going to be coming home to his house for lunch. Leonard Sweet, the great preacher and theologian, he says you cannot read the Gospels without getting hungry. And he's right. There's food all over the place. I mean, there were fish fries on the beach and a picnic by the lake. But there was so much going on, more going on than just filling your stomach. Jesus taught his lessons of love and hope around the table because he understood around the table is where we open our hearts and we begin to learn the things that we need to know. I mean, think for a moment. What do our children and our grandchildren, what do they learn around the table? Well, they learn not to chew with their mouths open. They learn to try new foods. You know what we say to them? Just try one bite, that's all you've got to do. They learn how to sit still. They learn to use a napkin. They learn to say, "Please, pass the potatoes," and most of all, they learn not to say yuck when they do not like the menu that day. There is so much that happens around the table. I mean, we learn, we remember, we get to know one another, and we are fed. No wonder Jesus spent so much time around the table. And that brings us all the way back to that beautiful scripture reading we heard read this morning. Now, the Passover meal that Jesus was sharing with his disciples was a meal that they had shared before, but this time is different, very different. This is the last time, the last meal that Jesus will ever share with his disciples. And his words that we heard read today, they are a foreshadowing of what will come, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection. You see, the Passover meal was always a time of remembrance. It was very important in the life of the Jewish people. It was a way for them to remember how God had brought them out of captivity and slavery in Egypt. You remember the story. Plague after plague was inflicted upon Egypt, but Pharaoh refused to let the people go until the last plague. And they were told the angel of death would strike down every firstborn son in every household in the land. But Moses told God's people, the Jewish people, to sacrifice a lamb and to place the blood over the doorway of their homes, and the angel of death would pass over. And it did. The Jews were saved. But this meal, this new meal that Jesus is talking about, he's telling us that there is a new Lamb of God who has been sent to sacrifice, as a sacrifice, to save not just one group of people, but to save the world. Do you see what Jesus is doing? I mean, he's taking something so ordinary. Bread and wine had always been a part of the Passover meal, but he gives them new and powerful meaning in the words of our scripture today. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Each time you eat the bread and you drink the cup, remember me. Remember me and the love that I have for you. This table that we call the Lord's table, it's Jesus's gift to each one of us. And we have gathered through the centuries at his table to remember that God's story is our story. It's a story of a love that will not let us go. Now, I believe that regular family meals can transform each one of us. I mean, it is around the table that we share and we learn and we remember and we celebrate and we laugh. And it's no different with God's table. As the church, as the beloved community of God, we actually learn our Christian table manners around this table. We learn that everyone is invited to God's table. We learn that everyone is accepted at God's table. We learn that everyone is fed and no one is turned away. And perhaps most important of all, we learn to ask, receive, and extend forgiveness. And that is our lesson and our invitation for us all this morning. For all of you who are weary today, come to the table because you will find strength waiting for you there. For all of you who are filled with guilt or regret, come to the table and you will receive forgiveness and peace. For those of you who are held prisoner by anger or by resentment, come to the Lord's table and find his release. And most of all, for each one of us who has ever felt alone or unloved, come to the table and know that the power and the presence of our Almighty God is waiting for you there. Thanks be to God. Amen.